The DR Congo says it will not allow international bodies to participate in an investigation into the death of a leading human rights activist there. The activist was found dead in his car near the capital Kinshasa earlier this week. The government says the head of police has been suspended following the death, along with several other police officers. The incident comes as the DR Congo prepares to celebrate 50 years of independence from Belgian colonial rule. The nation is still suffering from the effects of a 1998 to 2003 war that killed millions of people, and campaigners have long criticised the country's record on human rights. Despite a peace deal to end the war, people in the east of the Congo remain in terror of marauding militia and the army. Human rights campaigners say the most frequent targets of this ongoing but little publicised conflict are women. Hundreds of thousands of them have been raped, most of them gang-raped. And the UN says the sexual violence in Congo is the worst in the world. Pascal Palmer works for the Catholic Aid and Development Agency, CAFOD, and has just returned from a visit to the DR Congo, where she came face to face with many of the victims of this ongoing brutal violence against women. She spoke about what she saw and heard during her visit and what CAFOD is doing to try to help these victims.
What the situation is in the eastern provinces of DRC is the continuation of a systematic method of breaking up communities, which is as real as the machete and gun violence that was going on in Congo during the two Congo wars after the Rwandan genocide. And what I saw, I went to two main hubs in those areas, in North Kivu, the capital city Goma, and in South Kivu, Bukavu. And in both places, I met up with, in total, about 40 women who were part of CAFOD's project called the Listening Room, where women who have been sexually attacked can actually come and gain medical and then counselling to try and heal them after these terrible, terrible attacks. And I actually found during my time there that I didn't realise the scale of it. I went out into some of the parishes, just in the foothills of where the Inter-Haramwe or the FDLR still have many camps. And in a place called Mwanda, I went to meet with 15 women at a listening room. But what I found was with these women who were so incredibly brave to actually tell me their stories, every single one of them had the most horrendous tale to tell. And these were stories not from the war. These were stories for now. These were stories where people had been released, having been held by rebel troops, maybe for a month, maybe for a year. There was one woman I met who'd been held for 3 years. And every single case told of the most horrendous physical violence and sexual violence.
Palmer told us more about the shocking case of one particular woman who was seized by the rebels and was not only raped daily, but was also forced to eat human flesh by her captors.
If I can talk about one woman who I met, 55 years old, so a good age, and she'd been held by the Inter-Haramwe out in a forest. She'd been made to walk there for 3 days. She had no idea where she was. And she was held for 3 years, daily raped, and seeing different groups of hostages taken to the camp, brought to the camp, and seeing them tortured, mutilated, and on one occasion, two members of a group of hostages were beheaded. And this poor woman, having been in the camp already for a year and a half, was actually forced to eat parts of the bodies of these dead hostages. And every single woman who I spoke to had a story that had elements of that sort of horror. And what I gained from my week spent with women who have suffered sexual violence in Goma and a week spent in Bukavu is that this is such a real, devastating, ongoing war. And it's a social crisis for the population in the eastern area of DRC. Because what actually happens when these women are so brutally attacked is it doesn't stop there, it being so traditionally patriarchal. These women are seen to actually carry the blame of the attack. And what happens is that often the community and their own family will reject them, and especially they are rejected by their husbands.
That was Pascal Palmer of the Catholic Aid and Development Agency, CAFOD.